Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 12, Vritrasura's Glorious Death. Just an amazing title in itself. Vritra means covering, Asura means demon, glorious means glorious, and death is death. So it's like very contradictory, very paradoxical, many paradoxes here. And we are on text 22. Yasya Bhaktir Bhagavati Harav Nikshreya Seshvare Vikridito Mritam Bodhav Kim Kshudrai Katakodakai. Yasya, of whom? Bhakti, devotional service. Bhagavati, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Harao, Lord Hari. Nikshayasa Ishvare, the controller of the Supreme Perfection of Life, or Supreme Liberation. Vikridata, swimming or playing. Amrita Amboda, in the ocean of nectar. Kim, what is the use? Kshudrai, with small. Kataka Udakaihi, ditches of water. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. A person fixed in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord, Hari, the Lord of the highest auspiciousness, swims in the ocean of nectar. For him, what is the use of the water in small ditches? Not only it's small, it is also a ditch. Not only it's a ditch, ditch is dirty water. It's for dirty water. But it's also even small. Can't really play much in either way. Purport. Vritrasura has formerly prayed, Bhagavatam 6.11.25, Nana kapriṣṭam na caparameṣṭyam na sarvabhūmam narasādhipatyam, which is a very famous line. It's repeated several times in the Bhagavatam. I don't want any enjoyment. I do not want the facilities for happiness on Brahmaloka, Svargaloka, or even Dhruvaloka, not to speak of this earth or the lower planets. I simply want to return home back to Godhead. Nanaka Prishtam. So, Nakprishta is the back, and Naka Prishta is the heavenly planets, which is on the back of all the other planets, and or Muni Lokas, because it has a very interesting explanation. So we have Ka is a name of Brahma, and it's a name of enjoyment. it's a word for enjoyment. Brahma is the progenitor of the universe. In some verse recently we read that Brahmaji is very happy when somebody produces good children, because that's his headache, you know, how to populate the world with good children. So Ka. Then Aka means suffering, because not Ka. Aka means suffering. And then Naka means Na-a-ka. Not pleasure. It's again pleasure, but higher. Very high pleasure. And he says, na-a-ka. So it's a intellectual game, you know. So sort of you have quadruple negation. Four times negated. So because for the intellectual brahmanas, it had to be made a little fun, right? Yeah. So that it's interesting. You're not hearing simple things again and again. So they, in the Bhagavatam, they put it in such a elegant way. So he says, I want nothing in this material world. This is the determination of a pure devotee. A pure devotee is never attracted to any exalted position within the material world. He simply wants to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead like the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Srimati Radharani, the gopis, Krishna's father and mother, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. You have Yashoda right there. Nanda Maharaj is not as frequently depicted. Radharani, of course, we have. You have there. Where else do we have? We have here. Yes. But I just want to draw your attention that some people say, Prabhupada, it's, you know, Vaidhi sadhana. We need Raganuga sadhana. Yeah, that was the line sometimes by some people. But here you can see that the text speaks about small ditch and renouncing material pleasures. What does Prabhupada speak? Vrindavan, Radharani, Yashoda. Yes? So who is Rasika? Who is full of transcendental love for Vrindavan tastes. So Srila Prabhupada says, again I will say, he means pure devotee. And that includes also she, because that's just the old British where you just say he for everybody. In Ukrainian I would say she, because... yeah? Person Oseba. Ona. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Ona be. Yeah. And, yes. So he simply wants to, it's quite amazing. He simply wants to, so that supposed to be all of you. Yeah, Nazai, Shankrat. Ah. I'm going back to. A little higher. He wants to associate. I'm just reading again because it's very interesting. So he's not attracted to the most exalted position in this world. He simply wants to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very simple. Nothing special. Not being a rich man. Not being a big leader of the material personalities, just have friendship with God. Simple desire. He simply wants to associate with the Supreme Personality of God, like the inhabitants of Vrindavan, on the topmost spiritual planet, Goloka Vrindavan. So a simple desire. Only one person is smiling. I'm not sure. The other, for others, it probably is very simple. I don't know. To me, it sounds a little humorous. I mean, ironic, because he simply wants to go to associate with God, which is not so simple sometimes. Like the inhabitants of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani, the gopis. Covered girls, Krishna's father and mother, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, Krishna's friends and Krishna's servants. It's like you say, I don't want to be a president or prime minister, I just want to make friends with the prime minister. Nothing special. He wants to associate with Krishna's atmosphere of Vrindavan's beauty. Krishna's atmosphere of Vrindavan's beauty. He wants to associate with Krishna's atmosphere of Vrindavan's beauty. These are the highest ambitions of a devotee of Krishna. Devotees, because this verse speaks about nikshreyasa. Nikshreyasa means the best of the best. So, because we are supposed to desire, there's a contrast between shreyas and preyas. Preyas is something that's just pleasant. And preyas, and like short-term pleasure. And shreyas is what is actually beneficial, the best, long-term benefit. And nishreya is the best of the best. And Krishna is in this verse is called nishreyasa Ishvara, the Lord of the best of the best. So therefore Prabhupada mentions these are the highest ambitions of a devotee of Krishna. Devotees of Lord Vishnu may aspire for a position in Vaikuntha Loka. But a devotee of Krishna never aspires even for the facilities of Vaikuntha. He wants to return to Goloka Vrindavan and associate with Lord Krishna in his eternal pastimes. Any material happiness is like water in a ditch. Sewage. Whereas the spiritual happiness, eternally enjoyed in the spiritual world, is like an ocean of nectar in which a devotee wants to swim. Such a beautiful purport. He wants to associate with Krishna's atmosphere of Vrindavan's beauty. Yasya bhaktir bhagavati harau nishayaseshvare vikridatam ritam bodau kim kshudrai katakodakai. A person fixed in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord, Hari, the Lord of the highest auspiciousness, swims in the ocean of nectar. For him, what is the use of the water in small ditches? Bhakti yoga is cultivation of desires and taste. So it's a positive process. Srila Prabhupada. So positive usually is denoted by the sign plus. Srila Prabhupada frequently makes the pun or word game that yoga means plus Krishna. Because for thousands of years, the misconception is that spiritual life is only jnana yoga. Spiritual life is only minus maya. Only give up. So Prabhupada tries to counteract it by saying, no, yoga means plus. It's not give up, renounce. It's accept higher, accept even higher. Not minus maya, minus illusion. Plus Krishna, plus reality. This is the process. That's bhakti yoga. And here, the beautiful purport, where Prabhupada speaks about Vrindavan and cultivation of desires. And the verse itself says, Indra says, the ruler of the higher planets, where all the enjoyments are there, all the imaginable and unimaginable enjoyments. Can you imagine some enjoyment? Can you imagine an enjoyment which you can't imagine? Even higher? You can step by step try, but by the way, it's an exercise, jnana yoga exercise for detachment. Because sometimes the mind has a picture. Oh, if only I had this. And we see a picture. Or like a very short clip, few seconds. And we think, oh, it would be so nice. However, the exercise is to continue. You know, run it for a day, for a year. Okay, what if this continues? What happens after 2 years? What happens after 3 years? Turn it into not even a movie, but a 20,000 episode TV series. And then usually on series, I mean, usually you can't even reach the end of the first season in your mind, because it becomes boring. We are attracted by some imaginary 3-second or 1-moment picture. And when we turn it into a movie, it's not what we actually were aspiring for. It's not what we thought is the enjoyment. But if some pleasure is there, this is the place. So it's the paradise. Paradise. Paradise means pleasure. And he's the Lord of paradise. He's the ruler of paradise. We are in a place where we have a whole big collection. If you go to the museum, did you go to the museum yet? It's across the American embassy. There is a free outside area with these stones. And on every stone, it's so interesting, you can see Iom. Every stone says Iom, 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 Iom. And then Evgeny Loci, or nowadays they say Evgeny Loci. They use the Italian pronunciation. And what does it mean? It means Iovi, Optimo, Maximo. To Jupiter, to Iov, to Zeus, and to the local, to the spirit of the place. Ljubljana or Emona, or how would they call it? So they collected, they were standing on crossroads, like nowadays you have Mother Mary blessing the crossroads, sometimes Jesus. So that's from 2,000 years ago, 2,000-3,000 years ago, you have these many, many stones with some respect offered to Indra. Jupiter is Indra, thunder god. And the spirit of Ljubljana. I'm not sure who she or he is. Spirit of Ljubljana. Who? Dragon? No. Well, you know, dragons are Nagas. They are also many Vaishnavas. In the fifth canto you can read. Many of them are Vaishnavas. Many of them gave some instructions to some Buddhist monks in the Middle Ages. I mean, I'm sorry, it's maybe I mix things up. There is one Nagarjuna, famous Madhyamika Buddhist monk. Naga means Naga, dragon. And some of them claim to draw the instructions from Naga. So in other words, many of them are quite pious and spiritual and even Vaishnavas. Many of them are Vaishnavas. You can read how they worship Lord Ananta in the lower planets. So therefore, yeah, it's quite interesting that we have... If Ritrasura is a dragon, maybe, but no, it's too controversial to have Ritrasura on your flag. Although he is here, glorified. Even everything is glorified. Even his enemy is glorifying him. But it's very puzzling, confusing, yeah, bewildering. Are we worshipping this demon, or are we worshipping him as a devotee, or what are we? Anyway, so Nagas were devotees also. So here you have Vritrasura glorified by Indra. So it's almost like these, and the Bhagavatam glorifies, it's almost like on those stones where you have Indra glorified and the local spirit. If the local spirit is some dragon, is as Mishra Prabhu is saying. And Indra is the Lord of Paradise, and he glorifies Vritrasura. It's such an amazing story. So what happens? We have, that's why the question will arise in the end of the end of this story. How did it happen that Vritrasura is so wise? That he's Indra is also puzzled. How did it happen that he's in the body of a demon? And he speaks such wise words. So Indra is surprised. However, even this fight here is very surprising. Even in this fight, you see, Dhritarashtra wins. Then Indra makes extra effort, cuts off his arm. So normally, you know, people stop fighting. Dhritarashtra keeps fighting and strikes Indra on the jaw, and Indra drops his thunder weapon and stops, as a normal person would do. Dhritarashtra also stops in a very sporting manner and he says, pick up your thunderbolt and fight. What is this? Why do you stop? This is a fight. It's not over yet. You just do your duty. You are a devotee of God, so I'm fighting, you should fight. Without an arm, he won, and he stops, and he says, Indra, what is this? You keep going. Take the weapon and fight. So Indra, here you can see he's saying, and he gives the whole sermon. He gives him a sermon. It's quite interesting. It's like, just imagine, there is a boxing match, and then one is knocked down, and then the other one, in the break, goes to the corner of the guy who was knocked down and starts preaching to the opponent, telling him, you're not your body. You're fighting not for the medal, not for the championship. You're fighting as a duty. What is this? Don't give up. And tells the continue fighting. go for the next round. You never lose till you lose. Let's keep going. Fight for the glory of God. I mean, there are some pious. You have You can see some of these Ukrainian boxers. They always pray before they cross themselves or pray before. Klitschko, he would always he would get blessings of Dalai Lama, and you can see he's really like in deep meditation before a fight. So okay, sometimes they do, but he doesn't go to preach to the opposing corner. You know, if he's knocked him out, finished. Some victories there were he just. Cut the bro of a guy, the opponent, and the referee stops because the blood is flowing very strongly, and the referee is not sure, and the guy is a little woozy, so they don't want to kill people nowadays in these fights as they did before, apparently. So they stop immediately. they check, can he fight, or is it just because some of them died, many of them died. Fighting for too long, so they stop immediately. So it would, and so usually they don't object, the winners. But here the winner stops and he preaches. He says, "Look, you're a soul, you're a devotee, you must serve God. Keep fighting, pick up your weapon, do it as a service, do it as yoga, do it as your duty, as your dharma." Keep going. Just do it, and impossible is a word in the fool's dictionary. So Indra, the lord of the heavenly planets, says that it's very surprising. I'm very surprised you're speaking such high philosophy, and you're such a big demon, and you're speaking such nice philosophy. And then he says this verse. This is the last verse he's saying. So this verse is a little ironical, because Indra is the lord of paradise. He's fighting for paradise. He fights frequently for paradise. He really tries to hold on to paradise. Right? So what he says here is not actually his philosophy, apparently. He says, for a devotee, paradise is nothing. It's useless. It's like a sewage, like a puddle of dirty water for a person who swims in the ocean of in an ocean of nectar. You know, if you swim in a big ocean of nectar, will you go play in a puddle of water? In your childhood, did you ever play in puddles of water? You play, but because you didn't have, did you have an ocean of nectar? You didn't. Even if you had a swimming pool of nectar, you probably would still play with, not in a puddle, would you? But Indra apparently prefers paradise. He prefers this puddle of water. Dirty. So he says it, but he says it for Dhritarashtra, not for himself. And we see in another canto, Bali Maharaj, who also loses heavenly planets due to Vamanadeva's trick. He says, Indra is so foolish. How is it that he could have asked anything from Vamanadeva? He could have asked for, what is the best thing to ask? We all know. Krishna, prema, yes. Can't find anybody sleeping. To wake and ask what is the goal of life. Какая цель живления? Какая мысль ты? Здравку пробу. Поговорите. Цель живления. Придемо гор. Окей. Как удалишь гор? How far high? Just to Indraloka or higher? Yeah. So we know Indra knows, yes, that's the goal. But also we know that, you know, when a big existential choice comes during lunch, should I take the eighth piece of a beautiful cake? Or should I limit myself only to seven? Sometimes we lose the battle. Yes? Yeah, existential battles are not easy. Sometimes you have to take the 8th and the 9th and the 10th and then it can't go anymore. Then they say, yeah, okay. We are detached. So it seems to be Indra's it seems to be Indra's position. Although Vedanta Sutra does say, lilayam lokavat kaivalyam, that their mistakes and fall downs of these demigods like Indra are just to show a lesson to us. It's not that they are really such fools, that that we sit down here on earth and we say, oh, that was wrong, what he did, that was not correct. He should have done like that. They are really, really, really very refined and exalted personalities and devotees. So Ananda Sutra does say that it's a lila. It's a lila for showing an example. So it's a positive example to engage our mind and give us a lesson. Just recently I've been listening. Damodar Prabhu from New Vrindavan has read now very beautifully Bhaktivedanta Vedic Library. That's his website, Bhaktivedanta Vedic Library. he read the full Chaitanya Charitamrita with the purports, and the Bhagavatam with the purports, finally. We have Shikshashtaka Prabhu, everything is there, at tinyurl.com/audiosp108. And Damodar, just Google Bhaktivedanta Vedic Library, so he has all the books. Apparently he's read everything, but it's not been yet edited and put out. Only Adilila is there. So I've been listening to Adilila just now. It's amazing. Prabhupada's purports are so powerful. He explains his godbrothers are criticizing him for everything, that he gives Brahmin initiation to Westerners, that he gives any initiation to Westerners, that he gives mantra to Westerners, that he initiates women, that he allows women to live in a temple, that he... they criticize him for anything and everything. So he explains, no, this is for this, this is for that. And that's in the sixth chapter of Adilila. And chapter 5 and 7, are especially 7, of Adilila in Chaitanya Charitamrita is very interesting, because all of a sudden, it's all philosophical, we hear about the Panchatattva. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, external reasons, internal reasons, very esoteric reasons why he came. Then Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, chapter 5. And then chapter 7, all of a sudden you have a whole... The first 12 chapters are supposed to be just philosophy. Lila begins from chapter 13, birth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So 12 chapters are supposed to be just philosophy, but chapter 7, all of a sudden he jumps forward... how many years? He jumps forward 30 years, almost, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit to Varanasi, Benares. Have you been to India? No? Usually Benares is where everybody goes. Who has been to Benares, Varanasi? You're all devotees, you don't care about Benares. I could hardly convince my friend to go to Benares for one day. But it's a very for non-devotees, it's probably the most famous historic place. It's probably one of the oldest universities in the world. Since thousands of years, they teach the highest. You can even our acharyas, Jiva Goswami studied in Benares, and so many other acharyas. This Raghunandan, our Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he's from Benares. It's a very ancient, it's like eternal Oxford. Eternal Oxford. For thousands of years, till today. With very beautiful old narrow streets, and it's a very special place. It's not so much for devotees, of course. I remember in Vrindavan once we had some mystic astrologer came. And it was my early years in India. I was still... consulting different astrologers and mystics, exploring the fun of India and knowing the future. So I went to just next doors in Maheshwari Sarsadan, there was one mystic coming. They said, oh, he can give you so much good advice, and he solves people's problems, he knows everything. And, you know, I still had my naive, childish idea to get rid of my insomnia by some clever means. So I thought, let me go ask him. So we went. And actually, I think it was just when our BBT line, Ukrainian line, was closed, I think. That was around that time. And so I wasn't sure, should I stay in Vrindavan or... so? What should I do? So I asked him about some things. I asked him about insomnia. He said, okay, do like this. I did like that. And then I said, I'm thinking, there are some devotees who go to Benares. We have our Dr. Damian Martin, who got his PhD from Benares Hindu University. Now he's doing so much nice service, finding old manuscripts. Which were considered lost Like Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's books, he found two copies of Gaura Gana Surupa Nirupana. He found a second copy already, which it was considered lost, gone. He found already two copies, which is important to corroborate that. So I asked this mystic astrologer, I said, I'm thinking maybe I should go study Sanskrit better in, that was before, I think, Gopi Paranana Prabhu's school in Govardhan, in Benares. You should have seen his face. He made like this. Benares? No! From Vrindavan? No! What are you talking about? No! You must stay here! No! What? Benares? No! Never! What are you talking about? What an idea! Going from Vrindavan to Varanasi. What are you talking about? This is Vrindavan! And he himself was not from Vrindavan. He came from, I think, from Rajasthan. I think he lived in Rajasthan. He used to come regularly to to Vrindavan. He was so shocked by such a, you know, idea that somebody would decide to go to leave Vrindavan, go to Varanasi to study Sanskrit. What an idea, you know. He was really dismayed, you know, how do you say, disappointed. What? How can you say like this? To go there to study. But, so that's okay. If you didn't go there, you can see it's devotional not to go. Because even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, he went, so all of a sudden, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in the beginning, in the philosophical part, he starts speaking about the visit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Varanasi. And, you know, it was a little troublesome. You may complain about a hard day on Sankirtan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Varanasi to do his preaching. And there is a description. He says, I brought a big load of goods. And there were no buyers. Nobody wanted to buy. Just imagine, there is a discussion. Let's say there is a fair, like a day, a market day. You know, sometimes there are market days. This village, that city, and so once a month, once a year, many people come. So you bring a big, big load of goods or books, or I don't know, and then nobody buys. So nobody wants to pay the price. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, okay, I will give it for free. If at least they want to take. If they have desire, I will give. And there was no buyers still. So he left and he went to Vrindavan. And only on the way back, we hear how there was an arrangement and there were these Mayavadis who were criticizing him. So this is where Prabhupada speaks about people criticizing Srila Prabhupada for his arrangement of our organization of our society, establishment of our society, and finally opening the old rotten locks on the knowledge, on initiations, on mantras, on sampradaya, and so forth. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining Vedanta Sutra. They asked him, why don't you study Vedanta Sutra? What does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu answer? You must have read in the Bhagavad Gita. Huh? Why don't you study Vedanta Sutra? Yes. He said, I'm sorry. My guru told me I'm a fool. And he was Nimai Pandit. He was the child prodigy, you know. He was the top professor of Navadvip at the age of 14 or 15. And Navadvip was, again, like Harvard or Cambridge or something in that time. And he said, my spiritual master told me, you are too foolish to study Vedanta Sutra. You better chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So he says that. You know? Now, Prakashananda Sarasvati said, that's okay. And he says how he feels change in the heart. He starts dancing. So Prakashananda Sarasvati said, oh yeah, that's amazing, that's true, that's wonderful, this is wonderful. But still, what's wrong with that, with Vedanta Sutra? And then, it's so interesting. It's such an advanced coaching technique, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does. It's called placement. Placement. Clarifying the positions. He doesn't just say, you idiots. Which is the, you know, the sum total of the, the criticism. He says, I'm embarrassed to speak about Vedanta Sutra because what I will say will be different from what your Shankaracharya comments. I feel a little embarrassed. I don't know if I should speak about it. So they said, no, please speak. So he said, do I have your permission? So that's called placement. You know, you ask permission, you wait for a question, you warn what are you going to speak, you know. It's a very advanced, very super. They teach this, you know. They train people in very advanced courses how to how to do this. such a gentle preaching, such an expert preaching. So then he says, "Well, you see, Vedanta Sutra is okay if you take it direct as it's written, but the commentary is Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam explains what Vedanta Sutra is." And he explains that it refers to Krishna and Krishna Bhakti. And he convinces. All of them accept. They all accept. That's the result. Actually, this is what I wanted to speak about. So that was an introduction. Did you like Vijay Prabhu's lectures? What can you say about his lectures? What was special about his lectures? About all of his lectures? Yeah, a lot of stories. It's a story after story after story. And relevant, good, interesting stories, isn't it? And you can see he's a collector of stories. He goes around the world, like right here, he heard something about our Devendra Gopal Prabhu, he picked it up, he went, asked around, and he put it on his book distribution conference. Now the whole world knows our Devendra Gopal Prabhu under a slightly changed name. And it works, isn't it? In fact, this is one of the problems. That Sutra is where you just give the conclusions. It's like this. You just say the conclusion. And Bhagavatam gives you a conclusion plus a story. And they say people have very hard time to change their opinion. It's very difficult for people to change their opinion. Even if they don't have an opinion, if you try to convince them about something, they will reject. It's called backfire effect. The more arguments you give, the more they resist. It's like one devotee was giving an example of his cat, how it was the time to feed the cat, so he grabbed the cat and dragged it to the food plate. And the cat was like resisting completely, you know. Even though it was the time for feeding, and he was hungry, but when he was pushing it very hard, the cat resisted. You know, oh, no, it must be bad. Something must be bad here. So he said he made an experiment. Like for half an hour, he was dragging, pushing the cat to eat. And because he was doing it so forcibly, the cat was running away. And the cat was confused because he knew he wants to eat. But he followed his instinct and resisted. So it was very confusing for the cat. What should he do? Should he go eat or should he run away? So well, finally the cat somehow sneaked between the legs. He caught a moment when he wasn't being pushed or dragged, and he sneaked between the legs and he jumped to the food. He quickly ate something and ran away. There was no other source of food. But the problem with, okay, that was food and that was the cat and that was, you know. But it's the same with opinions. If we push, people resist. It's called backfire effect. And it's very difficult for a person to actually develop, change an opinion or develop a new opinion. Even though it's a legitimate intellectual development. I mean, if I don't change my opinions from time to time, then it means I'm not intellectually maturing or growing or developing or alive, let's say, right? Even, it doesn't have to be a complete change, but at least some development must be there, right? But if somebody pushes, I will resist. So they say there are two ways that it can be, that it can actually work. One way is through authorities. If somebody is accepted as an authority, then people may listen. And so that's why, and that's the principle of all advertisement. Find somebody popular, and you get, like in India, it's Amit Bachchan, and I forgot his son, two actors. They advertise everything. Everything. You know, some Duracell battery, you know? And he's standing in a shop, you know, this cardboard picture with a Duracell battery, you know? And you look at it and you know it must be good because, you know, Amit Bachchan is holding it in. Or in the West, I don't know, some sports person or some shaving cream or something, and it must be good, you know. He must be a super expert about this shampoo, right? So it's used. Yeah, the other charity Shrestha. That's one way. But also, this is why if we are a missionary organization, we need to have exemplary behavior. In moral sense, so that's why you must behave in the best kind way, helpful way, respectful way, so that you do not create a negative impression about Srila Prabhupada's mission. So this is one way, authority. Another way is when that people will consider maybe developing some new or accepting some different opinion. Another or version of or explanation. Another way is through stories. Somehow or other, when it's done through stories, when you hear it, when you like the Bhagavatam. This is the whole Bhagavatam. So you can see it's a natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, but instead of giving a philosophical conclusion, like the and sutras, it's. I can give you examples of sutras, but it's already 9 o'clock and you're already tired. And if I give you some sutras, that will be a total. Okay, one. Ikshater na shabdat. So literally, so that's a very big, very important sutra. It's sutra number 4. It's super important. What does it mean? Because of being seen, not without hearing. Full stop. What the heck does it mean? Because of being seen, not without hearing. Huh? So without a commentary, I mean, of course, It's a very nice and popular and beautiful sutra. It just means that we see that some people hear the sacred texts and they advance their spiritual realization. So it can be absolute truth can be learned, can be realized, can be understood with the help of the sacred tradition passing down Shabda, the text. So, ikshater na shabda. Because of being seen, we see it's possible. Not without hearing. It's not impossible to understand through material ears, the material sound vibration, the transcendental object beyond this matter. So that's Vedanta Sutra. Nice conclusions, but very short. You need a commentary. And you need the questions to understand the answers. Yeah, they are answers without the questions. You need the questions to get the answers. But the Bhagavatam, you can see the Bhagavatam gives you a story. It gives you a big, terrible demon who is eating the whole universe. You know, and then there is a devotee attacking him. And then Lord of Paradise, he's attacking, and then he cuts off one arm of Vritrasura, and Vritrasura doesn't stop. He picks up his mace and strikes Indra on the jaw, and then Indra is woozy. It's not at all knockdown, but he drops his... it is actually a knockdown, technically. he drops his thunderbolt, and he stops. He decides, okay, let it be a knockout. I'm not getting up. No mas. But no more fighting. And then Vritrasura, this big demon, he stops and he says, hey, you're a spirit soul. You're not the body. Why do you stop? Pick up your weapon. Keep going. Just do it. It's your duty. How do you know whether you can still win? You can still win. You see, I had my arm cut off and I'm still winning. So you may also win. So keep going. And after all, we are all spirit soul servants of God. And we need to develop love of God. And he preaches it. And now Indra says, wow, this is amazing. You are in the body of a demon and you are speaking such a beautiful philosophy. And for somebody who experiences the ocean of nectar in bhakti, in loving service to God, even paradise is like a puddle, dirty puddle, for a person swimming in the ocean of nectar. So then we'll read further. He picks up his thunderbolt and he cuts off the second arm. So now Vritrasura has no arms. And what does he do? He swallows Indra. So is it finished? No. Because Vritrasura considers his job done and he enters trance, meditating on Krishna, decides, I've done my role, I've done my piece, I can leave. Heads cut off, arms cut off, Indra swallowed, but Indra is protected by Narayan Kavacha. He can't be destroyed, and with the thunderbolt he cuts himself out from inside. And Vritrasura doesn't care, and then he cuts off Vritrasura's head, which also takes a long time.
1 year.
But in trance, and he's already out, so it doesn't matter for Vritrasura. Anyway, it's a far out story, no? Some people get excited when they hear ikshater na shabdat, because of having seen, not without hearing. That's very exciting for some of us. But that's not so many. Maybe 2%, 1%, 0.2%. But a big flying demon with one arm cut off and urging Indra, the Lord of Paradise, to keep fighting, that sort of is more amazing, no? Although the conclusion is the same. The conclusion is the same. So Bhagavatam is a contemporary presentation of Vedanta Sutra through stories. With philosophy. Philosophy is also there. Direct echoes are there also from Vedanta Sutra. Direct quotes are there. Everything is there. So if you like that, Ikshatar Nashabdat also is there. No problem. You will get both. It's even more fun. So that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains in Adilila. That bhakti is the answer. Bhakti yoga is the direct. It's plus Krishna, not minus Maya. It's plus Krishna. It's plus transcendence, not minus illusion. Minus illusion is important, but it's naturally through the higher taste, achieved through the higher taste. And also, we have the conclusion of the Vedanta Sutra as loving service to the transcendence, but the Bhagavatam shows how, for example, even having a misfortune to be trapped in that demoniac body, Vritrasura doesn't lose his understanding, doesn't lose his memory, doesn't lose his good qualities even. And he goes to Goloka, according to what Prabhupada is speaking here. I don't know exactly, but what is the rasa of the relationship of Vritrasura, but he's back to the spiritual world before Indra, much before Indra. So nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you in recovering your eternal relationship with Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay? All clear, huh? Comments, questions, points? You look like you have some intriguing comment.
Me?
Yeah. Some fascinating thought about Vritrasura and Indra and paradise and stories and... No? Too esoteric?
It's hard to believe these stories sometimes. They're so unusual. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that we should focus first on philosophy. What is the message? You're focusing, you discussed more like in what way topic is presented. And for us, it's much better that it's some kind of context of a story. And then you can learn so many things. Also, it's easier to memorize.
Yes. Well, as yesterday I mentioned, that we do have flying snakes with arms. Pterosaurs. Flying snakes with arms. Pterosaurs. I mean, so they were actual creatures, which are even found, you know, in the fossil. I think they found even near off Australia coast. They even found some body of like recently of that thing, huge. So apparently, some even survived long enough to just drown recently. So there are ways to even connected to the literal, external, physical meaning. So that's an aspect also. But usually Bhagavatam will have three lines. So there will be the historical line, physical line. There will be the universal plan line. And then there will be the personal transformation line, adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhidayika, universal transformation. So this is what you're saying, that yes, Krishna Samhita, he tries to emphasize, okay, you don't believe, don't find it hard to believe, don't worry, just focus on this first, that personal transformation. It will work anyway, it will help. And then you see it helps, it works, and then maybe people will expand their horizon of possible what's possible and what's impossible. In this age or previous ages, previous yugas. And
there is correlation because the science and, for example, for Vedic scriptures, there's many information about where things were, for example, Saraswati.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
There's a lot of involvement of Saraswati in Vedic texts that we know today. So
yes.
to prove, then they know that Saraswati is there. There are findings of cities at the bank of Saraswati and everything.
Yes.
So they know that Saraswati existed.
Yeah.
So it must be that Vedic scripture and also other information there may be correct.
Yeah, yeah. This is the Harappan civilization. So it's now like a desert, and there is hundreds of very prosperous cities in the ground there, and it was flowing 7,000 years ago. It was big 7,000 years ago. So it defeats even the theory of Aryan invasion in India also, because 7,000 years ago means that it's already glorified in Rig Veda and other Vedas. So it means it's already been there.
And also shows the authenticity of ancient Sanskrit literature.
Yes. This is one. Another one. Some others are astronomical configurations. They can pinpoint the dates. There's only a few combinations that match. That was 5,000 years ago. That was 7,000 years ago. It's also matching. Yeah, there are some indirect proofs. Okay, so another sunny day in Ljubljana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.